This week's Shiurim have been sponsored by Family Taylor, Lichvod Simchas Hanesuim, which is Binyamin Taylor and Mary Govich.
Chof Cheshvin, Thursday the 24th of October, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, playing the real game.
Good morning, everyone. It's a big honor for me to be speaking here today. But truth be told, you know, one of the big philosophers is to say that the mind is a remarkable piece. From the moment that one's born, it begins working daily, constantly, without fail, until you stand up to speak, and then the mind goes blank. However, my daily verse of Chaim, always before each speech, used to be Makke, that a Yid believes is Yad Tishmaya, where the power of speech comes from. And before each speech, he used to say, Hashem Sfas Tiftach of Biyagin Tilasecha, to appreciate this idea. The quick itinerary today, Rez Hashem, we're going to ask two questions on different parashas HaTorah. We're going to come out with the Yesod, an idea, which is the Yesod is not only associated with our lives, it's actually interwoven, interrelated into every aspect of our decision that we do daily. And Rez Hashem, we should use it for the good. And we'll answer, and we'll show how this concept runs through many, many different parashas HaTorah, and also the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. To begin with, two questions. Question number one, last week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, Avraham Avinu, Akedas Yitzchok. The Achronim asked like this. Avraham Avinu waited many, many years to have children. And after 100 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he finally is zeichet to have a child. Not long later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says, Avraham, I want you to take your son Yitzchok. I want you to take him to build him his Beah, to take him to a nearby mountain, and I want you to slaughter him. Avraham Avinu, without any hesitation, without questions, he goes, he takes his son, he's on the way to the mountain, he builds the Mizbeach, he puts his hog up there, he's already got the knife out, it's already touching him, it could be it's actually made a drop of blood already. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop, you've done enough, you've passed the Nisayon. This event, this monumental event which took place thousands of years ago, is something which Klal Yisrael have used over generations and generations. We mention it daily, we mention it yearly, every time. We need mercy, we bring up this idea, this concept, that in this Zechus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on us. And the question that Achronim asked, beginning with the Gon, afterwards Reb Chaim Volozhin, and so on, they all ask the same question. They ask like this. Avraham Avinu was no simple person. Avraham Avinu, Chazal tell us, at 3 years old, he already understood and appreciated through his own wisdom that there was a God in the world, that God had created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach over the world. This was at 3 years old. Chazal tell us Avraham Avinu was a Navi, he was a prophet, and he had direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're talking about someone very, very big here. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, over the thousands of years that we've been around, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael have been moisen nefesh, literally, and slaughtered their own children. So, and Klal Yisrael have managed to do this. And here we're discussing Avraham Avinu, someone who we just showed was very, very great. Someone who at 3 years old had the wisdom, someone who had achieved spiritual attainment, which we can't even imagine how big he was. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, and he says to him, Avraham, I want you to take your son. Avraham Avinu has seen the fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avtochas. He knows that there is a God. He's seen it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take Yitzchok and Shechtim. Is it not obvious that Avraham Avinu is going to take his son and Shechtim? Is it not possible that he's going to do such a thing? What was this big nisoyin that Chazal tell us that Avraham Avinu went through and Avraham Avinu Shechted it, that we're using and holding on to this nisoyin as a bargaining chip for so many years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on us? What was so special behind it? That's question number one. Question number two, next week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu. The Achronim asks like this. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz speaks out, and he says that Yaakov Avinu was running away from whom? Chazal tell us that he was being persecuted, someone was out to murder him. He was running away, he was on the way to his uncle, who was Yudua, a swindler in every literal sense possible. It looked like his future was bleak, he had nothing going for him. Someone was out to murder him, where he was going was terrible, there was nothing going. And he goes down to sleep, he lies down to sleep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaakov, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to accompany with you to the Mokum where you're going to go, and I'm going to bring you back out as well. You should know you've got a future. You're going to have children. These children aren't going to be simple. They're going to be the Shivtei Kol. Klal Yisrael is going to come out from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu here brochas and avtochas, which were just unbelievable. And what happened? Yaakov Avinu wakes up, and the Torah tells us. Yaakov Avinu wakes up from his sleep, and he says, I can see I slept in a very special place and I didn't know about it. Says Rashi, what does it mean? Says Rashi, he brings down from Chazal, if I would have known, I wouldn't have gone to sleep. And the question they all ask is, what are we talking about? Let's start again, Siddur Achronim. We're talking about a case of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was being persecuted. They were out to murder him. The Chidor brings down a medrash from his Zayda, who saw in Ksaviyah, that the medrash says like this. Yaakov Avinu was in the middle of running away, and Eliphaz ran after him to murder him. He caught up to him, and he was about to murder him, and literally in the last second, Yaakov Avinu managed to persuade him to allow him to live. And instead, he told Eliphaz to take his possessions. Taking his possessions, the Medrash says, did not only include his monetary possessions, it also included the clothes on his back. Yaakov Avinu was left without anything, without any clothing on him. The Medrash says that he had to hide in a nearby river, and until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Brev Rachamov, sent a soldier on horseback to ride along the edge of the river bank, and the horse slipped and the soldier went flying into the river and drowned. And Yaakov Avinu took the clothing of this dead soldier, allowed it to dry, and then he put it on him. And the Medrash continues and says that he was so worried, Yaakov Avinu, that the authorities were going to blame the death of the soldier on him, that he went to learn in Yeshiva Shem Be'eva for 14 years until the matter had been resolved and quietened down. So we're talking about someone who literally, it was not going for him. Theoretically, he was a depressed man. It didn't go. Someone was out to murder him. He was scared the authorities were going to catch him. He was on the way to someone who was a Yudu'atik, a swindler. There was nothing going for him. And in the middle of all this, he puts his head down to sleep and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidev atzmoy. And he says, Yaakov, you should know I'm going to accompany with you. I'm going to be with you. Relax. You've got a future. You're going to have children. And Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, it wasn't worth it. I shouldn't have gone to sleep. If I would have known where I was, I wouldn't have gone to sleep. Yaakov, do you know what you're giving up here? You're giving up on the very existence of Klal Yisrael. The brachas for the existence of Klal Yisrael came out from here. You're giving up on the Shiftei Koh. You're giving up on this Avtocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accompany us. What's Yaakov Avinu doing? That he's saying it wasn't worth it to go to sleep? These are the two questions that the Achronim pose. And they bring out unbelievable yesod. The yesod in six words before we explain it is that the end does not justify the mean. However important the end is, and however small the mean is, the end will never ever justify the mean. In Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz's words, "Ein ha-matara mekadesh es emtzaim." The matara, the end, the tachlis that you're coming to, it will never ever create that the means that you use to get there will be right. The means have to be right in order to get to an end, and if it's not, then the end cannot justify it. Let's go through it. Ramechal Feinstein brings it out. This yesod by Akomas HaMishkan. Komas HaMishkan, Pashas VaYakel, the Torah tells us already, the Klal Yisrael already Masavah beforehand on this idea that Kodesh Baruch will be Mashreh Shechinah in Klal Yisrael, but the Komas HaMishkan actually took place in Pashas VaYakel. Within three Pesukim of Pashas VaYakel, when the Torah discusses the Komas HaMishkan, the Torah comes along and juxtaposes the Pasha of Shabbos. And the Torah says that 6 days you should work, on the seventh day you shouldn't. And the Gemara already asks, why does the Torah see fit to put in the Mishkan here? What is this spatial relationship, this connection between Mishkan and Shabbos that the Torah had to put them together? And the Gemara says to tell us that the Hakomas HaMishkan cannot be Deicha Shabbos. And Rav Michael Feinstein speaks out a limud. He says, you see from here an idea, the same idea that we've just discussed earlier. The idea is, he says, that however important the Mishkan is, the Mishkan was a mokum HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shoyre Hishchina. We're talking about Klal Yisrael reaching spiritual attainments which are unimaginable. We're talking about seeing Nisim daily before their very eyes. We're talking about Kavyochel finding a mokum for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Shoyre Hishchina. We're talking about the biggest of the biggest and the best of the best. And nevertheless, says the Torah, there's Shabbos. Shabbos, you should know, is very special. Shabbos is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave just for us. Shabbos is a sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ahava towards us. But nevertheless, says the Torah, we would have thought that the Mishkan should still be Deichrin. Because the Mishkan is very, very important. The Mishkan is going to allow us to create a relationship, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And maybe Shotaka be Matzah Shabbos. And on that, says the Torah, no. You should know however important the Mishkan is, it cannot be Deicha the Mishkan. Because the end can never justify the means. And let's go back to the two questions that we posed and see how this answers the questions. To begin with, question number one was Avraham Avinu. And Eliel Lapian says an unbelievable idea here. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to overturn Sodoi, he said, you know what, I'm going to come and tell Avraham Avinu first. And the Torah says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that he wanted to tell Avraham Avinu first? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see in Avraham Avinu that he decided he has to tell him first? And the Torah says an unbelievable thing. The Torah says, ki yadaitiv. Says Rashi, what's yadaitiv? A chibo. Because I love Avraham Avinu. I have a special affection towards him. Says the Pasuk, why do I have a special affection towards him? Zot the Pasuk, not because of his actions. Zot the Pasuk, not because of his nisyonos. not because of the spiritual attainments that he's achieved, because of one thing. Yadaitu, says the apostle, Lemana Shiyatsave Esbonov Esbesai Akharov. The reason why I love Avraham Avinu so much, the reason why I have so much affection towards him, says the Torah, is because of one thing and one thing only. Because he's been mechanech his children in the right way. Agav, in Sograim, we see here the importance of Chinuch, how special it is, how important it is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how easy it is for a person to create this Ava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should love him, when he shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's been mechanech his children in the right way. But Zotrib Eli Lapyanazoi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that this Ava that he has for Avraham Avinu is based on the idea that Avraham Avinu is mechanech his children to go in the right way. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Avraham, I want you to shech your child. Avraham Avinu has now two options, two choices in front of him. On the one hand, he has a Tzivoy Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to shech his child. However, if he goes and shechs his child, although he has been mekayim the Tzivoy Hashem, he's lost this chibur miyuchedes. He's lost this special love that Kodesh Baruch Hu has for him. So maybe there's takar tzad, says Rabbi Elia, that Avraham Avinu should say, listen, there was a Tzivoy Hashem and I'm going to ignore it. But listen to the nachas ruach, the ava that's going to come out from it, not only from me, for all the generations to come. If I've lost Yitzhak, then there's never going to be this ava, there's never going to be this ava Hashem again, because no one's going to go in the ways of Hashem. But if I ignore this Tzivoy, then I'm going to keep this ava Hashem and I'm going to enable it to continue throughout the thousands of generations. So maybe it's not for me, it's for everyone else. Maybe it's worth it to ignore the Tzivoy of Hashem. And that, says Rabbi Elia, that was in the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu. Are you, Avraham Avinu, willing to give up on this Amas Hashem, this seemingly special love, which you only have because of your child, in order to become my Tzivoy? What's more important to you, the Tzivoy or my love? And Avraham Avinu passed it. He passed it with flying colors because he made one thing. He said, the end cannot justify the means. However big the end is, and however special the end is, however good my calculations were, it will never justify doing something wrong. Doing something wrong means not listening to Tzivoy Hashem. Coming to the second question, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, we said, was running away. The Achronim speak out, Chazal speak out, he was an absolute oinus. He had no idea that he was sleeping in a mokum kodesh. And nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu said it was worth it to give everything up, but in order that I shouldn't have been, that I was willing to give, I should give up. Yaakov Avinu said, I wouldn't have gone to sleep if I was known I was in this mokum. Why wouldn't he have gone to sleep? The Sforum explained, because there's a tzad that there's an Issa Moira Mikdosh if you sleep in such a place. And Yaakov Avinu was worried that he was going to be over on such an Issa. And again, we see the same Yasod, but we see in an even bigger light. Yaakov Avinu was saying that the very existence of Klal Yisrael was based on this bracha. His Havtocha and his, that he's going to come out unscathed, that nothing's going to happen to him, was all based on these brachas. And he said, it wasn't worth it. It was worth it for me to lose everything so as not to give up, so as not to be over on an Issa. Because the end can never justify the mean, however important the end is. Here it was massive. It was massive, and it was the Avtocha, it was Kiyum of Klal Yisrael. And the mean was maybe an Issa D'Oraisa, but nevertheless he said it was worth it to give it all up. I'm telling you an unbelievable story with the Brisker Rav. Bava Soloveitchik used to say it over. In the town of Bris, they used to have yearly elections of who's going to be mayor. And although the Haredi population was strong enough that maybe would have been able to be voted in as mayor, nevertheless, they didn't try to be mayor, because there was going there as well, and they didn't want to start, they didn't feel the need to be mayor. However, as long as they had councillors within their county, within their district, who would work on their behalf, they were happy. So normally, every year, the way it went was, there was a few Haredim working in their area who worked for the mayor. The problems began when the Tzionim found out. The Tzionim saw a perfect spot for them to gain power, and they started going for it. Although in the beginning, it didn't bother the Haredim too much, because it wasn't so much power that it should make enough gemina. The problem began when the parliament issued a decree that the Vada Kehillah is going to be under the jurisdiction of the mayor. The Vada Kehillah included chinuch, included every davar shebekdusha, included kashrus, shchita, everything. And this meant big problems. And the Tzionim found out about it, they were very excited. Because if they got their hands on this, then they had everything. They had the Haredim under their hands. And in Bris, elections were taking place and there was big fighting going on. The problem was that the Balabatim in Bris, they didn't understand the danger lurking behind the idea, because obviously the Tzionim didn't say that this was their motive. And they said their motive was to keep the place clean and to make it nice, v'chulu v'chulu. And the Balabatim were all going to vote for the Tzionim. The elections were going to take place on Sunday. And it was the week beforehand, and the Haredim were very worried. They went to the Briskerov and they said, if you don't write a letter backing us up, then we're lost. And the Briskerov understood that there was a big problem and he agreed to write a letter. Friday morning, the Friday before the Sunday, they came to him, he had the letter all prepared. And he gave them the letter, they went to print it, and they were going to hang it up. And they were going to hang up around town so everyone should see it over Shabbos. And the And then he called them all back and he said, I want all the papers here, we can't hang them up. So they said to him, what's the problem? So he said, because I'm worried that if I give it to you to hang up, a few of the people, it might be too near Shkia, and they're going to go a minute into Shkia, and there's going to be maybe an Issa Rabbanan. So they said, don't worry about it, we'll sort that. 20 minutes before Shkia, we'll tell everyone to stop. He said, no, I can't take that responsibility. Rizgurov was Yerei Shemaim, but Emes, someone who had Gehenim open on one side, Gan Eden open on the other side, and he was balancing on each end. To him, there was a responsibility, something he had to take achrayas for, and he couldn't take that achrayas. He said, I can't take this risk. They got very upset. They said, Briskerov, you have to understand. We're talking about the Brisker Kehillah. If the Tzionim get in to be, and they get elected, then the Kehillah is destroyed. That's it. We're finished. And he didn't deny that fact. He said, you're right, but I still cannot take responsibility. And he quoted them an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara in Erevin says, if yesh tchumin lemailo miasar, then Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos. Because there's an Issa d'Rabbanon to go chutz tchum, if you wrote Peskim. So if there is a tchum, the ma'alim yasar, the Mashiach can't come. So the Briskerov, the Gemara Kedushin says that the Mashiach, the Geula HaSidah Lava, is going to come when there's a situation in the world of Rav Zechuyos, 51-49. So the Briskerov, imagine, 10:15 Shabbos morning, boom, we've reached it. There's now Rav Zechuyos. It's 51-49. Mashiach can come. He puts on his jacket, he's about to go, and suddenly stop, I can't go. There's Issa d'Rabbanon. But Briskerov, you hear what you're saying? We're talking about the Geula. Klal Yisrael have gone through bloodshed, they've gone through persecution, we've gone through sorrows which are unimaginable and we can't even discuss. We've gone through terrible, terrible things in the world. And the Geula can come, and you're not coming because of an Issa d'Rabbanon. One smallest Rabbanon, you're not coming. I can't come, says Briskerov. I can't come because the Matara will never, ever justify the mean. However important the Matara, however important it is, we're talking about the Geula. The Geula HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chvoide v'az is going to be a Giloi Kavoide we'll be waiting for thousands of years. It can't come because it's an Issa d'Rabbanon.
You're
talking about Issa d'Rabbanon. There's definitely going to be Issa d'Rabbanon if he comes on Shabbos tomorrow.
No. With the Brisker Rav, they might finish putting up the posters before Shabbos.
Oh, and a flower, he was even more worried. He brought out, yeah, you're right, it's a little bit different, but the Brisker Rav's sad was a sad daraisa, because if you go into Shkia, then it could be his daraisa if it's really nach. So it's Sofid Rabbanon, the name of the Vada, the Sofid daraisa. So the Brisker Rav said that, I can't take that responsibility, and he didn't let them do it. He said it's worth it. His words were that it's worth it for the Brisker Kehillah to be destroyed and not to be over on a Suffolk Issa, as Levi brought out from his unbelievable Gemara in Erev. And the truth is, the story continues. The story continues that the Tzionim, the other camp, heard that the Brisker was planning to issue a proclamation that the Olam should vote for him, and they decided they're going to issue one back, and they're also going to put signs up around town. Once the Tzionim opened their mouth, they really opened it wide, and they let everything out. They were mevazed tamid chachomim. Everything they shouldn't have said, they said. It was terrible.
It's brought down in the name of
the Brisker Rav. They wrote this letter. The Tzionim wrote this letter, and they were going to put it around town. And they didn't know that the Brisker Rav had backed out and didn't let them put his letter around town. And they put their letter around town. Shabbos morning, the Olam came, they went to shul, and they saw the big letter from the Tzionim all around town. And they were mamish mevazeh, kveit hamid chachomim, they were shocked. They didn't know that Brisker Rav was going to issue a letter because they had no idea about it, only the people who were in charge. And they said, what's going on? What's this letter all about here? And they were shocked that they could write such things. And they were so shocked, they said, forget it, we're not going to vote for such a party. And on Sunday, when the elections came, the Haredim won. Now, this isn't the avtocha that every time we do such a thing, that's not what we're trying to bring out here, that we're going to get a reward immediately. But the yesod that we're trying to bring out here is the other side. The yesod is that we see the Gemara even, that the end can never justify the means. And if there's going to have to be any issa whatsoever, as small as the issa is, it's only an issa d'Rabbanon, it will still not be able to justify this means. And we see this idea quite clearly in Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi, Shaul HaMelech became king of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to tell Shaul that he should go and kill the Amalekim. And he told him explicitly that, number one, I want the men killed, I want the women killed, I want the children killed, I want the animal killed. I want them to be wiped out, to be obliterated. And Shaul, that was the words, that was the tzivui. And Shaul comes back and he goes to Shaul. Shaul said to Shmuel, Baruch atah Hashem, la Hashem, hakimoisi es dvar Hashem. I was mekayim, I fulfilled that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah me to do. Now, we're not coming to discuss Shol. Shol, Chazal tell us, was lemailing mishichmoy. He was a head up above everyone. Chazal tell us that means spiritually. He was someone who was a tzaddik gomor. What his avery was, we're not going to discuss it. And we're not discussing that. We're going to discuss what Shmuel HaNavi said to Shol. Shmuel HaNavi said to him, Omeh koil hatzoyin hazeh bo'oznoi. So what is the sound of the animals that I hear? The animals are going to be killed and I can hear them. So Shol said to him, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what it is. The reason why we brought back these animals was because these were the best of the animals. And we decided, not for us. We're not going to take any hanah from it. We're doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Nachas Ruach before and to be makriv a korban. Wasn't for us. We want to push it, create the Nachas Ruach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shmuel said to Shaul, this yesod. Stop and let me tell you this, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. You might be small. V'chulu, it said, and then he carries on and he says, Does is HaKadosh Baruch Hu interested? Does he desire rather than listening to his word? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants one thing. He wants us to listen to what he says. And if we try, and obviously we're in this world to Mekadesh Shem Shemayim to be Megalek Kavod Malchusay. And any way that we can do it in a Heter Dekoyven is brilliant. But if we have to do it by being over on Isurim, however special Matara is, that it will never ever justify it. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to Shmuel to tell Shaul, that your intentions were brilliant. You're for spiritual gains. It wasn't even for you, it was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nachas Ruach. But nevertheless, it will never, ever justify. Shaul Slant used to say, we're not in this world to achieve, and we're not in this world to copy. We're in this world to do. To do what we can do. And if there's an Isser involved, however small the Isser is, it will never, ever justify it. My Zaydi Rasul Chaim used to say that when Tomo became pregnant with a child from Yehuda, and they found out, and they didn't know that it was from Yehuda, and they wanted to kill her, and she was being taken out to death. Now she knew it was her life and the life of her twins inside. You're talking about three nefoshes. You're talking about Malchus Beis Yehuda. Tomo could have turned around and said, listen, it's not for me. I'm willing to give my life up so as not to embarrass Yehuda. But for the twins inside me, for Malchus Beis Yehuda, I can't do it for them. It was a brilliant calculation that she could have said. And maybe she would have been right. Should have been an oinus because it was a good calculation. But nevertheless, the Torah says no. It's worth it. Mutter lezorka b'kishin shal eish. It's better to be thrown in a furnace and get killed. You, your children, and the whole Malchus Beis Yehuda, so as not to embarrass one person. One person, because the end can never justify the means. In Antipathis, we see that when it came to Yosef and Potiphar's wife, saw, Beruach HaKodesh, that Yosef's children were going to come out from her Zerah, from her family, and she tried Lashem Shamayim to persuade Yosef to have children with her. So that and she made a brilliant calculation. She said, it's not for me. I can see in Ruach HaKodesh that it's going to come out Zerah from Yosef, from me. So I'm not doing it for me. I'm posh trying to fulfill this maybe prophecy that I saw. And she made the wrong calculation. Actually, she didn't. She made the right calculation, but the Matara was wrong because she had no right to do it. She was married. She had no right to do it. It was actually her child, her daughter, who married Yosef, and they had Einiklach from her Zerah. So she misunderstood it. But it wasn't her business. That was the difference between Tomo and Apitofa's wife. One didn't make a cheshbon and one did. We don't make cheshbons. We're here to do what we can do.
How do you know when to make the calculation? You can be Mekana Shabbos to save someone's life.
Brilliant.
Tomar, who said it? It's save someone's life, I can do this.
You're asking a valid question. The truth is, how do we know when a calculation is right and when it isn't? And the truth is, every single question has to be asked different. Well, you're right, but one thing does come out. That when we have a calculation to make, it's definitely not a simple calculation. It has to be asked to someone else who's not megay on it. It has to be asked to someone who understands. Because the one thing that we do see is that an issa can never be over in order to be megalik with malchusay. That we can't do. And Taka, sometimes we have good calculation that sound very good. We discuss it with someone else. We realize that maybe it was for us. And even if it isn't for us, we haven't got a right to do it. We can only do what's in our hands. So it's Hashem, we shake out this idea from which we see throughout the Parshas HaTorah, and we should be zecher for the good of Kreva.